The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 29 of the Sand Geeks podcast. We are happy to have you again as usual. Steve and I are here for our regular Sunday night chat. We love it because it's our opportunity to catch up on everything that's gone on in Fragcom rather than sending 100 Instagram DMs to each other through the week. And it's lovely to be able to share our inane banter with you all. So, speaking of Steve, here he is. Steve from the YouTube channel Frags to Riches. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I've woken up. As I said to you before, I was starting to nod off, but I've woken up now and I'm ready and I'm all geared up to record this.
Ready and raring.
This thrilling episode of the Sand Geeks. I'm up for it.
Oh, it's always thrilling. And I was the same. I was lay on the bed just about half an hour before I had to come and set all the audio stuff up, just thinking, I'm bloody knackered. I could really just do with chilling out right now, but oh no, we have to be here for the geeks, so it's commendable. I think we should pat ourselves on the back.
We do, because I think you saw, I shared something on Facebook. I've been grafting this weekend because the wife tried to catch me out like I was some sort of marriage novice, like I was new to this game. Yesterday we was talking about like decorating the baby's room, and she said to me, well, I'm not going to force you to do it, but you know I want it done. And that was it. Ooh. It's like, well, I think we all know what that means, don't we? So yeah, last night I was decorating the baby's room. So I'm a bit knackered now, to be fair. But
oh, Mandy.
Like,
you know, that is what, if you'll, I know you love listening to this podcast preamble before we get into all the boring fragrance stuff. So that's, you know, that's below the belt. I think you should just say it straight. We don't need any of this emotional blackmail. You know, that's not cricket, is it? We can just ask us. I'm only joking.
You can you can imagine. I mean, we've been married long enough. I'm not going to fall for that. You can imagine those noobs out there would be like, oh, it's fine. She said she wasn't going to force me, so it's fine. You know, like, I'm going to go and watch Formula One. It's before. Like, no, mate. Yeah. No.
And then 2 weeks later, when you come in late from the pub, it all comes out in the wash. It's
bad times.
Do not fall into that trap, boys. If you're thinking of getting married, don't fall into that trap.
No, schoolboy error, that would be. So what have you been up to this weekend?
Well, we've kind of had a quiet weekend, really. So we do something over this lockdown period, we do something for the kids. We let them choose what exciting thing they want to do at the weekend, and they come up with these crazy ideas. So this week they wanted their grandma and granddad, so Helen's mum and dad that live around the corner, they wanted them to come over, stay over the night, and have a party. So they planned all party games out. We watched Super Air Buddies on Disney Plus, which obviously we were all riveted to. They made jelly and cream, and so we just had a big old party. So there was Helen's mum and dad and Helen's brother as well. So we've had a houseful, and it's nice. But I don't know if you entertain people at all, Steve. But when you have friends round, I love seeing my friends. Don't get me wrong, love my friends, but it's kind of non-stop. Load the dishwasher, empty the dishwasher, wash everything up. Because there's about every time you want to make a cup of tea, you can't just make yourself a cup of tea. You've got to make 10 cups of tea. And that fills up the dishwasher. And then I did a supermarket shop on Saturday, and what would normally last us a week is going to get us through now half a week because it's all been eaten up. But it's nice. It's always nice to have family around. It's just been pretty chill. I've ended up doing editing and bits of work and Instagram stuff, if I'm honest, because I just can't help myself when I'm at home and I see an opportunity, I just do it. How's your weekend been?
Yeah, it's all right. So yesterday was a bit of a sort of grafting day. I was sorting out the garden, cutting the grass in the morning, then decorating sort of afternoon into the evening. But then today we had a bit more of a kind of family day. We went out to kind of Thetford Forest, and we took the sort of Nerf laser guns. So me and the boy are running around the forest, kind of shooting each other with laser guns, like you do.
Oh, mate, I love it. I used to go to Laser Quest parties when I was a kid.
Oh, yes, Laser Quest.
They were the best.
Yes, I remember Laser Quest. That was the best. But yeah, other than that, oh, I tell you what's happened to me this week, which was exciting. I've been meaning to tell you. I didn't tell you this. I got serenaded. Been serenaded, mate, in one of the Facebook groups. I joined one of the sort of Facebook selling groups or whatever, And one of the members who's quite active, I assume he'll be listening to this because he serenaded me with the theme tune. So Josh Samuel, let me see if I can play this.
Oh, Josh Samuel.
Very active. I kind of joined the group and someone said, oh, I'd like Steve to join the group. And then loads of people commented and said, oh, welcome to the group and that, which is really nice. So I was like, oh, this is a very, very welcoming. And then Josh actually shared a video and here's the audio.
The Sand Geeks, we are the Sand Geeks.
So there you go. I don't know how loudly that came through the mic there, but yeah, I got a little serenade, which was lovely. He's got not a bad voice.
Josh, that is beautiful, mate. Thank you so much for that rendition of my theme tune, what I wrote. That's really nice to hear.
I feel like we need to do like some sort of X Factor type audition for somebody to join the vocals on our thing. That could be like a little competition we do. Like if you're good enough, you can add your vocals to the
intro. Yeah, we should. Yeah, and since he's taken the time to give us a nice little rendition of our theme tune, we should shout out his Instagram because he's got a good Insta account, which is called Smelly Vision. Smelly Vision. He takes some nice photographs. Go and check out Smelly Vision. Yes, you will see the face behind that beautiful voice.
Yes, I mean, I've got the... Perhaps I should share the video in the Facebook group, but I don't know if that's maybe a bit much. He probably won't care, to be fair. He's not too fussed. But, so, yeah, there you go. We're famous for that theme tune that you wrote, mate. So, well done.
Well, it's pretty amazing just to write an earworm and get it stuck in people's heads. I'm quite proud that I've probably annoyed hundreds of people around the world with my theme tune. I'm very proud.
I like that he did our little sort of Americanist sort of twang that we both sort of sing with.
My wife always goes that. She's like, geeks.
Yes, my wife always most like, why is it a bit American?
Because we were just being dicks, weren't we? We were like, we just need to do something funny, so let's be dicks.
Anyway, we're like, I don't know, what, 6 minutes in or something, or 7 minutes in. Shall we do some Podmin so we can get on with some fragrance chat?
Sure.
So we've had a couple of Ko-fi donations. Everybody knows Ko-fi by now. So ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks. You can support the podcast financially by donating as little as £3. And it's like you're just buying us a coffee as a little thank you. So we've had just a couple this week, but we do really appreciate it. So Stefan from Germany, put in brackets. So there's another international listener there. He said, thank you guys for this great podcast. It makes my Monday. P.S. have been asking myself the following question for quite some time. Do I find many of Roger's perfumes so great because I paid a high price for them and now I have to justify this to myself? So this is a sort of interesting one. We're probably not going to answer it here, but there's that whole... This theory gets linked to fragrance reviewers sometimes, don't they? Where they say, you know, if you get a free bottle, you're more likely to be positive. Or conversely, if you've paid for something and you don't like it, you're going to be more probably likely to say it's shit because you're a bit annoyed that you've paid your own money for it or whatever. Or conversely, sometimes if you've paid your own money, you'll sort of try to justify it by going, no, I do like it. It is nice. Mm. So there's definitely some psychology in it.
And
it is the power of suggestion as well, isn't it? When somebody tells you this is a good expensive fragrance, you kind of go, is it? Okay, yeah, it is a nice.
Well, with regards to reviewers, I mean, everyone does it slightly differently, but I don't really want to go laying into a house if a fragrance isn't for me, because you know, I genuinely like most fragrances. I don't really come across any or many fragrances other than something like, you know, Secretions Magnifique or Sombre, things like that. But most normal fragrances, I don't have, I've never been repulsed by a fragrance. I can go, that's nice, but perhaps not something that I would personally want to wear. But I can appreciate that someone's made a good scent, but it's just not for me. So if someone sends me a really expensive fragrance, if I don't think I will wear it, then I'll say that. I'll say, look, you know, this is not something I would personally wear, but if you're into these notes and you like these accords, then perhaps it might be for you. So that's when I talk about a fragrance that I don't personally want to wear myself, but I would never go, this is crap, don't buy it, because I don't feel like I'm... Who am I to... I'm no expert. I'm just a bloke sharing his opinions. Who am I to... to deprive a brand of potentially thousands of pounds worth of sales when I'm just a bloke who stands in front of a camera. So I don't go down that route. I know some people do, and I know lots of viewers want to see that, and fine, you know, you can have that balance, and there are channels out there that are happy to do that. But yeah, that the way I do it is I just try and be a little bit more I don't know, I just, yeah, a bit more diplomatic, I suppose. But I mean it's all honesty. I'm never dishonest at all.
I know what you mean. I think for me, I do quite like doing some, so though I don't, because most of the reviews I've done I've sort of bought myself, so I don't like it when I've bought a fragrance that I don't like. But then conversely, what I do like about reviewing that fragrance then is I get quite emotive. If it's something I don't like, I feel annoyed that I've spent money on, I can get almost pissed off. I'm like, oh, the performance is shit, and I'm like, and sometimes that's quite nice because it comes across in a review, and I think people kind of like that sometimes, because it's like, oh, it's quite raw, and you can see that you're sort of quite emotive about it rather than being critical. Yeah. But in this whole, we're sort of going off on a whole discussion topic here, but
we're making it about us, aren't we, Steve?
Yeah, so how selfish of us.
But, well, it is our show.
Interestingly, a channel that I mentioned a few weeks ago, The Sentient Man, so Raj did a whole video about fragrance reviewers and their relationship with fragrance houses, and the phrase that he used is, you know, like reviewing a fragrance with the handbrake on. So it's almost like you're sort of pulling your punches, or you're holding back a little bit because it was sent to you for free.
Okay.
And if not, and he sort of discusses the pros and cons. You know, it's good to have a relationship with them because you can test, you can get samples, you can test them, and etc. And that's good. But then he sort of discusses the cons as well, and he does some real life examples because he's friends with Peter from Fragrance View, and he got his fragrances, and so it's quite an interesting video. It's like, it's not really long, but it's quite long. But it's I might link that. I think I've already linked it once actually in our Facebook group. But yeah, if anybody wants to continue that discussion, they could probably watch that video.
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on it quickly, briefly, before we go on to the other part of this question, I think everyone does it differently, and each channel, they set their channel up from nothing, so you can pretty much choose what you want to talk about. And if people don't like what you talk about, then they don't watch, or they don't subscribe. Or, you know, if people are constantly saying, oh, you know, you're only liking this because the house has given you a free bottle, well, you know, if you've got a track record of recommending fragrances that other people don't like, then your tastes might not align, and they wouldn't, you know, would no longer buy. But if you're constantly making recommendations that people say, I bought this and you were right, it was great, then people then trust you. People trust your opinion, and it's all based on that, really. So I guess if someone's watching your channel and they deduce that they don't have the same tastes as you, hopefully they would just quietly fade away, unsubscribe, and go to another channel. You don't have to make a big deal out of these things, I don't think.
But as you touched upon as well, it's difficult when you're reviewing something that's subjective. It's like art, you know, it's that classic thing. You can't say, art to you might be really bad, but somebody else go, well, that's, I actually find that really good. It's not like a telephone, you know, technology fragrance review, fragrance reviews, technology reviewers, if they're reviewing a phone and they go, well, it doesn't work, it broke, or, you know, it's fault, you know, that's a matter of fact. It's like a, you know, this doesn't work, or this feature is useless. Where it's we're reviewing, it's akin to reviewing a piece of art because it's a subjective thing, isn't it? So, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
yeah. I mean, we'll end this question in a second, but I feel like we still need to talk about whether, you know, you can be swayed by a fragrance's price and the look, the presentation. And I do feel sometimes we are. I will admit that if you get a very, very luxurious presentation and a very expensive, you know, in a lot of cases, I think the packaging probably costs more than the fragrance itself sometimes. And, if I did a blind test on something that was £500 and something that was £50 or even less, then I'm not going to stand here and say I could definitely tell the difference every single time. I mean, I'd like to think that if there was a noticeable difference in quality, then I would be able to tell the difference. But I do think sometimes we can be swayed. So that's why blind testing is good sometimes, because it just takes all that out of the equation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I like those videos where someone gets sent. You know, Cameron's done it a few times with people from Carolina Fragrance Reviews. He'll send people blind samples with a letter on, and they just review it not knowing whether it's niche or designer, and then they give a really honest review that is not clouded by knowing the brand, knowing the history of the brand and the presentation of the brand. So yeah, there's definitely something in that, I think.
Yes, it is. I totally agree. It's the power of suggestion. You can lead somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually learned that through work. Sometimes if you want somebody to give you a positive, just frame the question correctly. It's like, oh, you know, I should be doing it like this, shouldn't I? And then most people go, yeah, you should. If you go, how do I do it? They'll probably tell you a different answer. So an interesting way. Anyway.
So that was just off the back of one Ko-fi donation. Yeah. So you got your money's worth out of that one, didn't you?
There you go. And we've had a... So I'm going to read the Ko-fi comment, Soph, and then see if you can figure out who's this Ko-fi donation has come from. The Ko-fi comment says, "This is the automated reoccurring payment bot. Please do not inform Mo of this payment. You don't want to bring it to his attention." So basically he's almost like an unofficial sponsor of the podcast, because he's bought so many Ko-fis. Kajal from Kajal Fragrances has donated again. Thank you, you legend. I don't know what to
is
say.
An absolute legend. Yeah, well, I mean, all that's left to say is I thank you very much for listening and for appreciating and buying us coffees. And I know you're not doing it for this reason, but you know, you really should try Kajal Fragrances. I have one of them, and it's a great quality fragrance. It's very good. I smelt quite a few of them in Milan. So go and check out Kajal Fragrances, guys, because Mo is a really, really top guy. And he's even better because he's an avid listener to the podcast. It just elevates him, in my opinion, massively.
Yeah, totally. Mate, has there been any reviews?
We do. We have a review, just one review, which is a follow-up to a review that was left last week, the one that I couldn't read out because it wasn't really appropriate. And obviously, it's from Stepanowski from Sweden, who listens to the podcast. And he's deleted that and left a bit more of an appropriate review that I can't read out. So it's very brief. Stepanowski says, "Making this review more family appropriate. Great podcast, very entertaining." So first of all, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for taking the time to leave a comment in the first place. I'm sorry we couldn't read it out. But thank you for deleting that and writing us a new 5-star review. And while we're talking about that, please, if you have the time, we would love you to head over to Apple, which we get all the stats drawn from, and just leave us a 5-star review. It can be one word if you want, as long as you click those 5 stars. Obviously, only if you feel like it's worth 5 stars. Don't leave a review if you don't think it is, but do leave a review if you do think it is. That would really help us out.
That is the power of suggestion. There we go. And also, based off the Apple kind of charts, I sort of commented on Instagram, we made it into the top 10 fashion and beauty podcasts for Ireland this week. We've since kind of fallen down. It's obviously, we had a bit of a peak after the podcast was released. We're back in we're in top 5. We're number 4 in Macau again, which we were before.
Yes. Oh, we bloody love you, Macau. Thank
and you. We're in the top 20 in Greece. I didn't realise that in Greece we actually peaked once at number 3. So we're doing quite well there. So thank you, everybody. We do love you for your listens and downloads. And as I said before, it's amazing that we've got so many people all over the world, which blows my mind. So yeah.
Yeah, and come on, England. You know, this is our home country. Why aren't you getting us into the top 10? Please listen. Please listen to the Scent Geeks.
Please
I think get us higher up.
Where the highest we've ever been is ranked. We've managed to get to 54 in the UK is the highest we've ever been. So yeah, we're still to break the top 50 in the UK, unfortunately. But there we go.
We can do it. I'm sure we can do it.
We'll do it one day. Mate, what have you been wearing this week?
Okay, I thought you were never going to ask. So I've been wearing a really lovely new one from Atelier des Ors, a Blanc Polychrome. That was actually my post on Instagram today. Gorgeous, very light, nuanced, but refreshing citrus-based fragrance, basically. You want to wear it in the heat, and it just sparkles. It's got good longevity on the skin, fairly minimal projection, but it's a lovely fragrance. And those bottles, I mean, talking about bling bottles that they've got 24 karat gold flakes inside them. I mean, come on.
Wow.
So I also wore one from Fragrance de Bois, Cannabis Intense, which doesn't smell like weed, doesn't smell like someone smoking weed. It's but quite oud woody, actually. Or they have one that is similar to oud wood called Oud Noir Intense, and this is similar, but it's got this more of a bitter greenness to it, so it's very nice. Gravitas Pour On. Oh, you know what? I hadn't worn it for a little while, and I wore Gravitas, and I loved it. I wore it one evening, and I was just getting wafts all evening going, this is so good. It's really, it's got this kind of sweet, how can I describe it? It's got this sweet base, which smells quite modern, but then sitting on top of that, it's got this very classical cologne type masculine smell that reminds me, actually, I had this soap on a rope when I was a kid, and I loved it, and it was smelled great. It smelled like men's aftershave, basically. So you've got this men's aftershave smell sitting on this quite modern, sweet, fluffy base, and it's just I loved it. Really, really well done. If you've not tried Gravitas Pour, I always want to say Gravitas Pour On after Lex Ellis did a review on it.
Well, obviously, one half of the duo is Scottish, so that kind of makes sense. But yeah,
oh yeah.
And I saw Sarah Harris reviewed it a good few weeks ago.
Oh
now,
right,
but she absolutely loved it. So yeah, she rated it. Really
yeah,
well,
I saw the video. I was a little distracted, so I can't remember what she said about the fragrance. Yeah. That maybe you should watch it again. I also wore L'Homendiel cologne, which is obviously one of my top choices for the summer, and that was included in a video that I did with my dad. I was so glad to get my dad in a video, because I've had other people on my channel, but he's never been that bothered. But I thought I want to get my dad on the channel. So lovely video with my dad that's on Fragmental for your viewing pleasure. I wore Brivido della Caccia from Argos Fragrances, not the UK store. Before anyone makes you, every time I post about it, there's always someone makes a joke about, oh, I didn't see it in the catalogue. I'm like, oh. I've kind of heard them all now.
The company I work for, we one of the products sort of that we own, the product range is like Argos as well. It's like I think it's like Argos right. Technologies or Argos Scientific or whatever. But again, we get the same thing whenever you say Argos. People straight away like, oh, that's in the store. Like,
yeah. good joke. Yeah. Lastly, I sampled a new house or new to me called Chabot. They're a French house. And there were a good handful of fragrances that I could totally see myself wearing. And I did a live stream where I just did first impressions of all these 16 fragrances. And during the live stream, Claire Smurfy Gurley was in there, and she egged me on to do this, the big squirt tag, which Tony tagged me in during one of his live streams. And I hadn't got around to doing it. I was intending to, honest. But Claire said, why don't you do it? Well, Claire said, are you going to do it? I said, well, why don't I do it now? So I sprayed all 16 Chabot fragrances on me. And you know what? For the rest of the night, I smelled brilliant. It really worked. So it's a good layering combo of 16 fragrances.
That's layering to the max, that is. Damn.
I know, mate. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's me. What did you wear?
Mate, I've had a busy week this week. So after last week where I said, oh, it's been a sort of not much going on, like this week I've kind of got my arse in gear because I've put a bit of content out and I've ordered some samples, been testing stuff. So today I have been wearing a fragrance from my favourite house, which is Bulgari. But this is no cheap, basic bitch designer type frag. This is up at their sort of high-end premium end. It's cost £255 for 100ml, and I think it is exclusive to Selfridges in the UK. And it's part of their Bulgari's Le Gem line, and I've been wearing Tigar. So it's been hyped to hell, so yeah.
Spelt that kind of tiger.
Spelt a little bit different, so it's Tygar. And I think I first found out about it from Dan, the fragrance weirdo. But I think he tells me it was Christian in the Facebook groups that actually originally kind of brought it to his attention. So it's kind of like who started the hype train. But yeah, somebody posted in one of the groups and I was like, oh, damn, I need to get my nose on this. And somebody kindly said, look, I can hook you up with a sample. Had to pay for it, obviously, because it's hella expensive. But I got like just like a 5ml sample. And so I've been wearing that loads. I've still got a bit left, but I wore that today. And It is absolutely gorgeous. But strangely, you imagine it's going to be this really weird, complex, you know, but it's not. It's got like basically grapefruit and broxin and woody notes. It's just like really simple kind of fragrance pyramid, but it's done so well. It's super smooth. Performance seems to be really bang on. So I'm going to drop a review on my YouTube channel at some point.
Great.
So
good,
yeah,
mate,
you would love it. You would absolutely love this fragrance. Oh, yeah. I think you really would.
Well, next time we meet up, you can bring that. And we should shout out. You mentioned Dan the Fragrance Weirdo. That's actually his Instagram handle.
Yes,
another brilliant Instagram account. So if you like looking at pretty pictures of fragrance bottles and you like to listen to a very humorous write-up, I think he's as good a writer as he is a photographer. So yeah, the Fragrance Weirdo, go and check him out on Insta.
And Dan is somebody that certainly doesn't review with a handbrake on. He doesn't pull punches. He'll call something out for being shit if he thinks it's shit. So that's also entertaining. Yep. So what else? Yeah, I obviously filmed my Puff and Damali first impressions video, so that dropped earlier on in the week, so I tested quite a few of those. None of them beat Leighton for me. That's still my favourite. I know I'm a basic bitch and that is sort of very mass appealing, but it's still my favourite. Carlisle was obviously very good. I know that's one of your favourites. Yep. I did actually like Galloway. I wouldn't say it was particularly complex or necessary, you know, maybe not worth the price tag, but it was really nice. I did really enjoy it. I was a bit disappointed. Percival is just smells exactly like Mont Blanc Legend. I was really surprised by that.
Does it?
Yeah, like
right.
Really like it. It's.
I love Percival's great. I got some great compliments off a decant of Percival that I had, and also off the perfume parlor version of it as well. I got some really. So it's just a very. It might smell like Legend. I can't really just remember Legend. I'm not that familiar with it, but it's definitely a compliment getting fragrance. Is it not a little thicker and richer and longer lasting than the Mont Blanc?
Personally, it didn't come across as much thicker or richer to me. I mean, Mont Blanc Legend also is basically very similar to Fierce by Abercrombie and Fitch. So they always kind of get compared. I don't know which came first, actually. But I didn't. It was strange. It was one of those moments, actually, because I didn't do any sort of pre-checks. I didn't look at notes or anything. And I thought, bloody hell, that smells like it. And then I went on for Grantica afterwards. I was like, is it just me? And it was like, you know, they do comparisons at the top, and they were like, God knows how many people had compared it to Legend. They were like, no, this is like Mont Blanc Legend and Abercrombie and Fitch Fierce. So yeah, it does definitely smell like it. But there we go.
Okay.
What else? Right. Yeah, I had a new pickup this week. I bought Bleu de Chanel with a Parfum version. I'm a big fan of the EDP. I still think it's probably the best value because it performs better. But I do think the Parfum smells better. So I got a good deal on that, 20% off.
Great.
And finally, I did a review video on Prada Luna Rossa Carbon, which has been around a while now. But I was really pleasantly surprised by that. It gets compared to Sauvage all the time. But the only thing I would say, if anybody listening, if you've not tried it, do not write it off as a Sauvage clone, because it's got more going on. They've amped up the lavender and it blends really nicely with the Ambroxan, which is kind of smoother, and it's really nice. It's a soapier version of Sauvage, but it's really smooth, really nice, a lot more sophisticated. I was really pleasantly surprised by that, I've got to say.
Yeah, it was a good video, mate. And if you want to see a far inferior video of a bloke who doesn't have a clue what he's talking about, you can go on my channel and browse through to the very start of my channel in 2017, and you will find quite bewildered looking Chris Fragmental stood in front of the camera talking about Luna Rossa Carbon.
It's probably stood in front of a phone back then, wasn't it?
It was. No, you're right. It was my phone, actually. Yeah, it was my phone. Great. Well, I want to just move on to having a quick chat about a couple of things that have caught my eye news-wise in the YouTube and fragrance world this week. First of all, I'm very happy to say that Lanier Smith is back. Now, I know you don't know Lanier, do you?
No.
I was just talking to you about him before we recorded. Lanier has been around for, you know, a lot longer than me, and he was one of the people that I first started watching. I remember commenting on one of his videos, and he sent me such a wonderful, long response, actually. I thought, wow, what a nice guy. And he really is. And the way he talks about fragrances is I could just listen to him all day. He talks quite slowly and poetically about the fragrances, and the way he sprays them and smells them, it's just quite mesmerizing, actually. So Lanier is based in the States, He's a lovely fella, and his latest video, actually, he's unboxing Gravitas Por Om. So do check out Lanier Smith's channel, because he was away for a while. He comes in fits and starts, actually, but he's been away for, gosh, it feels like over 12 months, but he's just been uploading a few videos in the last week or so. So I'm stoked to see Lanier back. Cool. So yeah, go and give him a watch, Steve.
Well, similarly, I want to shout out a channel that I don't think I've mentioned before, but I should have because I actually discovered them a while ago, and they're also a really nice bloke as well to boot. So I want to shout out Matt, who has the channel Questioning Sense. So he's got over 1,000 subscribers now, and interestingly, for me, like, Matt has quite different tastes. Obviously, as we all know, I'm a basic bitch, and I'm sort of quite into my designers, and, you know, I sort of skirt around the edges of some sort of approachable kind of niche that are a bit more sort of more mainstream and mass appealing. But Matt is sort of, to be fair, Matt's got quite an eclectic taste, but he's certainly more into the indie niche side, and he's, you know, he's happy to kind of more challenging and interesting stuff, I guess some might say. So in many ways, it's not really kind of the sort of content that I would naturally sort of gravitate towards, but what I love about Matt's channel is he's so natural in front of the camera. Like, we've discussed this before, sometimes it takes some sort of new reviewers and stuff, it takes them a few months to kind of get into it if they're not naturals, and it's a bit sort of clunky to start with, and they sort of slowly start to get a bit more relaxed and with it. Where he's so at ease in front of the camera, and he talks so naturally. He's normally sitting on his sofa and stuff, and it feels like it's just your mate down the pub telling you about a fragrance that they've bought. So it makes it so digestible and, like, relatable, because he just talks in such a nice, natural, relaxed way, and it's not awkward or, you know, forced or uncomfortable. It's just very chilled out. It's not, you know, too showbizzy. It's just really, he presents so well. So that's one of the main reasons I kind of wanted to shout him out. And also, in some of his, I think he stopped now, but in some of his earlier videos, he lost a bet with his son, so he had to wear this hat during the videos. And he never mentions it, like, from what I could see. I don't know if I might have missed a video where he did actually say, oh, I've got to start wearing this hat. But he just turns on, he's wearing this weird hat, carries on through the view, says goodbye, and you're like, right, okay, what the fuck was that all about? And I ended up commenting on one of them, and he sort of said, oh, I lost a bet with my son, so I had to wear this hat during my videos until the end of lockdown. But I think he sort of got away with it now, and he stopped doing it. But so yeah, check out Questioning Sense with Matt. He's got some great, interesting, like, less obvious fragrances reviews, but he does it so well, and it'll just make it so you understand what that fragrance is about. So there we go.
That's great. Yeah, and if you've got that relaxed presenting style right off the bat, then that's a gift. That's great. You know, it's a good skill to have.
Yeah,
I think I don't think I had that initially. I feel like I've kind of established my sort of presenting technique as I've gone on. But if you can start it from day one, well, I mean, winner.
Yeah,
good for him.
Exactly. Something that I want to mention. We're talking, going back to the Parfum de Mali. Obviously, we sort of mentioned their new release last week, I think. We mentioned that Sutton was coming out.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Yeah, Sutton. Yeah.
It's not Sutton anymore, is it? Changed the name.
It's not Sutton.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah.
It was Sutton for a few days.
It was Sutton. And
no,
then
it's not.
And then I think they briefly went with Epsom, and now it is Greenlee. And I think this is all to do with, this is all just what I've heard people say and stuff, but it all to do with Bond number 9 had potentially taken legal action against them, or said, no, you need to change the name, because we've got Sutton, so you can't have it. So they then had to change the name, so they've gone with Greenlee. I guess it was obviously all the packaging, the bottles were all green.
They must have been racking their brains. They must have been like, oh god, we've got to make this decision fast, we've not got much time, what can we call it? It's a green bottle, Greenlee.
Green bottles, green frag. Yes. And strangely, I found this a bit weird, but obviously we mentioned before that Carlos and Stephen had both done reviews and stuff of Sutton. Well, strangely, Carlos has removed his video, from what I could see, of Sutton, and he's got a new video with Greenlee in, and he calls it Greenlee and refers to it Greenlee. He covers up the name on the box with his fingers, and doesn't reference the fact that it's changed his name. So I think he does say that he got the bottle sent to him, so it may have been that they asked him, oh, can you redo that, and can you not mention the name, because we've potentially got a lawsuit on hands. So I don't know, but I just found it a bit weird that he just did that video without referencing it. I think he did make a comment in the when somebody said in the comment section, but to me, that was just a bit odd. I found that really odd.
What I wish that he had done is just dubbed in the name every time. So he just left it as the Sutton video. He's like, hey, everybody, welcome to another BFL review. Today we're going to be talking about Greenlee.
Yeah, it's just like a bad kung fu movie that's been dubbed. Yeah,
because there's no point in trying to dub it like smoothly, because it ain't ever gonna happen. So you may as well do it in like, I think I would have done that, and I would have just kind of seen the funny side of that. But
that's I did that with one of my videos when I had a discount code for somebody, and the code changed because they offered more discount, which is good. But then I'd already recorded the video, so I had to dub over it. So I just went with that sort of style comedy kind of voiceover effect that's clearly different. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did. I was doing one. I think it was my Givenchy Gentleman Boisse review, and there was one I said something wrong all through the video, and about four or five times. So I thought, oh, what can I do? And it wasn't the style of video where I thought I could make fun out of it. So I just kind of dubbed it over with my own voice, and no one mentioned it. No one mentioned it. It was pretty smooth, apart from George, the Fragrance Apprentice. Soon as the video dropped, he was like, mate, you've been dubbing that, haven't you? I was like, yeah, I did.
You know, all our listeners are going to be like, right, that is a game now. Let's go and find that dub. I'm going to be on that. Find I'm going to watch
dub.
That later.
Yeah. I can't even remember what the word was now, to be honest.
That's a lovely fragrance, actually. This is a bit of a spoiler, but I was thinking about that for the upcoming scenario at the end of the podcast. So yeah, bear that in mind. Cool. Something else is Carlos has beat you to it, hasn't he? One of your favourite fragrances, potentially?
I know. I don't know how he's managed this, because there's a new Le Male flanker out called Le Male Le Parfum, and it's only available in Europe, in Spain, I believe. But Carlos has managed to snag himself a bottle. I don't know how he's managed that, because it's not even on Jean-Paul Gaultier's website yet, in the UK website, anyway. Apparently someone from Spain sent it to him, but yeah, it's not usually, if something is not available in the UK and it's available in France or Spain, we can usually find a shop that will ship to the UK and get the fragrance. That's what I did with 1 Million Parfum. But yeah, I didn't even know there was this fragrance coming out, and all of a sudden Carlos drops a review on it. So I was a bit shocked.
You are sort of Mr. Le Male, really. We've obviously discussed this. That was your gateway fragrance. That was the scent that you wore through uni, and I'm sure probably got you an incredible amount of action. So it means something to you. So you need to get your hands on Le Parfum. You need to just see what they've done with it. Have they just modernised it?
Maybe Carlos will send me his bottle now. I mean, from what Carlos was saying, he seemed to have a similar reaction to what I did with Aviator, in that it's nice, it's kind of pleasant, there's nothing too wrong with it, but it's just not really doing anything new or groundbreaking, and it's a little bit of a kind of damp squib release, I suppose, really. That's the impression I got from it, and I think that's possibly how I'll feel about it. I think it's going to be a nice, quite thick, rich, sweet smell that has a little flicker of the Le Male DNA, sits quite close to the skin, doesn't project massively, is just kind of a mediocre fragrance. That's kind of what I think it's going to be. But I'll try and get a bottle.
I'm hoping they've sort of kept the original DNA, sort of modernised it, maybe sweetened it up a little bit, and I'm hoping, you know, to watch your review when you finally get hold of it, and I'm hoping that it's sort of ignite something in you and it gets exciting, because obviously you've got a relationship with that DNA, so it'd be great to see that you go like, shit, this is good, you know, this is gonna be my scent, sort of thing, you know, if they've
I really want to, when I review something like that, I really want to kind of love it, right? But I find a lot of designer releases recently, I think 1 Million Parfum I got quite excited about, because I really enjoy that, but this year so far, any new designers have not really wowed me massively, but I prefer it when they do, because it's nice to, I feel it's a more enjoyable review when you're really happy and you're energetic and you know, you want to recommend a great fragrance to people. But hey, we'll see. Hopefully I can get hold of it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you can. If there's anybody out there, I don't know what, I need to look up the rankings where we are in Spain, mate, but if there's any Spanish listeners out there that want to send Chris a sample, Yeah, let us know. Get into the Facebook Facebook group, the Saint Geeks Podcast Facebook group, and message one of message Chris.
Great. A bottle each would be great, and then we can maybe just do a little spray on the podcast.
that would be good. But yeah,
that would be good. Yeah. Talking of fragrances that I love, I was very happy to see that my beloved Roger Parfums Enigma got some love this week. First of all, Aaron Terence Hughes dropped a really nice review of it. I know he'd previously smelled it with me. That was quite a while ago, and he pretty much said the same things, that it was beautifully constructed French perfumery. Not quite his style, but he thought it was really well done. And also, Ashton. I thought Ashton must have talked about Enigma years ago, but evidently he hadn't, and he dropped a review on it as well. And I said it was one of the best fragrances, I think, that he's ever smelt. So they were both glowing about it. So I was very happy to see my little Enigma getting some love in the community this week.
I guess we should say it's in the US, it's Creation E, is it? Is that right?
Yeah, Creation E.
Yeah, in case anybody is wondering. Yeah. But for the rest of Europe or the rest of the world, it is Enigma, is it? Is that right? I mean, I'm assuming.
Enigma, cool. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody's wondering what Chris is talking about with Enigma, it's a Creation E. But yeah, it's kind of reassuring, even though it is subjective and you know these things, like, you know, it doesn't matter, it's you like it and that's all that matters. But when you do see somebody sort of sing its praise, you're like, oh yeah. I can't remember what it was. I think Aaron might have reviewed was it maybe Noir Extreme from Tom Ford, I think he really liked it, and I was like, oh, it's good. Not that it sort of validates my opinion or anything, but it's just kind of nice when somebody else who's sort of quite informed goes, no, this is a good fragrance.
You think, that's it, when it's someone's opinion that you really respect, it's always nice to hear that they like something that you like.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, cool. Yeah. Mate, we're cracking on with time, so shall we have we done all that we need to discuss before we move on to...
We have. I think it's time to hit me with the scenario.
Cool. Now, this week's scenario I really like. I've got to try and find it now. I've got it loading up on my phone somewhere. So I think this is a really interesting one. I'm sort of quite pleased with it. I've sort of given it almost a hint earlier, talking about what it could be, because I mentioned a fragrance that I might use. So this week's scenario comes in from Mark Tattersall. Mark Tattersall. So he sent this to me through Instagram. So if you've got any scenarios for us, do send it to me either through my Instagram page, which is Frags to Riches, or find me as one of the admins to the Facebook group, which is the Saint Geeks Podcast Facebook group. So Mark sent this. Hi Steve, hope you're well, mate. I thought of a scenario whilst listening to this week's podcast. So set slightly in the future, a few years perhaps, and yourself and Chris are invited to Buckingham Palace to receive an MBE for your services to the fragrant world through your future TV show, A New Celebrity Frag Status Worldwide. I mean, this is not only set in the future, this is set in a very alternative world where they must be desperate to give out MBEs. But
I have been projecting forwards, and I feel like that this could be quite a realistic scenario, to be honest.
Well, I'll go with that. So the thing is, you're not told who will present the honour. It could be either the Queen, Prince Charles, or Prince William, or even the Duchess of Cambridge. What fragrance would fit the bill for such a prestigious occasion? Big love to you both, Mark. And he's even given us a little kiss. So thanks for that. So he's not said, obviously, about like weather or anything like that. I think they're sort of, are they like autumn? I don't know when they present the New Year's honour. No, it wasn't that long ago, was it? Obviously, it was fairly recently. So I think it's like late spring, early summer or something. But I've not focused too much on that. I guess the more the thing is that you've got to find a fragrance that is obviously going to be suitable for whichever member of the royal family, be it someone like Kate or someone like her, like Madge, Her Majesty. Yep. What are you going to go with, mate?
Well, I've got it, mate. This is just a no-brainer for me, really.
Okay.
So this is a very prestigious brand. This is very high quality. This is a very versatile fragrance that you can wear year-round. I think pretty much anyone would enjoy this. It's not a fragrance that is only for niche snobs. This would appeal to any nose, I think, in the world. It is literally royalty, because it's got royal in the name. It's from Creed, and it is Royal Oud. That is the fragrance that I would choose. I think it's a beautifully composed, very regal scent that would work just perfectly in that situation. I assume we'd be dressed in pretty nice suits, so we'd be looking dapper.
I'm assuming it's like a sort of black tie affair type job, isn't it? I think it's fully dappered up. So, yeah, okay.
Roy Lude is hopefully going to be my next purchase from Creed. I adore it, and I just think that would be a perfect fragrance.
Fair play. I wasn't sure if you would maybe just stick to something like Enigma just because it is your fragrance. You'd feel like the bollocks. I wasn't sure if you were going to go for that. Fair play, mate.
I can still feel my bollocks while I'm wearing one.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would.
I'd spray them.
It's ball spray. It's a ball spray.
Absolutely. Definite ball spray.
So I've been thinking about this. Now, it's a bit of a cop-out because I was thinking about the fragrances that I've sort of mentioned today. So the Bulgari Tiger that I was talking about is absolutely... It's lovely. It suits... It's a complete signature scent that could work any time of year. It's kind of mass appealing. Everybody's going to love it, but it does feel super smooth and sort of good quality. So that would definitely be an option for me, but that does feel like a bit of a cop-out. I did, if we were looking at something more designery, I basically, in my head, I was thinking I wanted something that's mass appealing because I don't want to put anybody off. I don't want to choke anybody out. I don't want anything too challenging. So I want something that's quite mass appealing, quite clean, quite soapy almost, so it's nice and clean and fresh. So the one we mentioned earlier, the Givenchy Gentleman Brasé, that, unfortunately, the performance is a bit shocking, but I thought that was lovely. I thought that was a nice sort of woody, fresh floral kind of scent that would kind of not offend anybody. It's not, because the performance isn't great, it doesn't, you know, it's not going to choke anybody out because it's not a big projector, but the longevity is not great. That's the problem. That could work sort of quite well for something that's
more affordable. What you'd have to do with that fragrance though, mate, is, you know, you'd have to like kind of get into Buckingham Palace and you'd be asking people, oh, you know, when are we going to see them? And they'd be like, oh yeah, they're just in this room here. And we'll take you to this area. You're like, all right, just let me know right before, the second before we go in and meet them. Just let me know. And then they go, right, sir, right, Chris and Steve, it is now your time with the Royals. And you'd be like, right, get the decant out, spray it, like, drown yourself in it, and then walk in. That is how you'd have to wear that fragrance.
You'd be spraying it as you walked up,
It might just last from the time you walk through the door to the time you get to them a few metres later. They might just still smell it if you're lucky.
The performance on my skin was a bit better than yours when I watched your video, but it wasn't great. It did die off, but it was kind of, I think I got four or five hours or something, but it wasn't great.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. It was, you know, it projected nicely for an hour, and then it was a skin scent for a few. So, you know, it wasn't horrendous, but it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be from the lovely opening. I thought it was just going to be...
The opening is lovely. If it performed...
It's a great opening,
I would have bought it, but it's still quite expensive. I basically plan on probably picking up a bottle when it drops down to, like, discounters, but Givenchy doesn't really go too cheap, that's unfortunately. But I do kind of... And also, the one I mentioned earlier, to be honest, if you were, you know... not a rich man, Prada Luna Rossa Carbon worked quite well. That lavender with the ambroxan is clean, soapy, mass appealing. That would work. So there we go.
Great. Well, I'm happy with your choices, Steve, because I think I'd be smelling better than you. So works for me.
Not with Tiger. No way, mate.
Oh, really? Okay. I need to smell this thing.
It is good, but it is fairly simple, but it would work well. Anyway.
Brilliant. That's good scenario. Loved that one. That was great. Good fun. Thank you for submitting that. So that brings us to the end. Steve, would you like to say your fond farewells to the dear listeners?
Yeah, no, thank you, everybody. Keep sending in your scenarios, I say, every week, but I do appreciate it. And again, apologies if yours hasn't popped up yet. It still might, but do still keep sending it in. And the good news is I'm getting my first post-lockdown haircut on Tuesday, and I'm excited. So the countdown is on to get my Barnett cut. So this time next week, mate, I'll be streamlined.
You have to let us know on the podcast what scent you chose for that momentous occasion.
I am already thinking about it. I'm thinking Tiger might be the way to go, but I don't know yet. But okay. I will let you know what I go with.
Brilliant. Well, been good to chat. As always, mate, an absolute pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. As always, we love you for it. Be here next week when we hit our big 3-0, which is... 30 episodes, 30 weeks. I didn't think that we'd get this far, if I'm honest, Steve. But we've done it. We've surprised myself. I feel like I'm talking bollocks.
I think a lot of people are probably surprised, and they're probably listening to this right now, going, "Fuck me, how did it last like to the end of this episode?" But yeah, we got there. So
Well, so next week, we'll be 30 in. So join us for that. And until then, have a week, geeks.
Bye.
Sand Geeks.
Yeah.